One of the most difficult, morally devastating episodes in the entire book of Bereshit is the sale of Yosef. When we think about it, the sale of Yosef was not supposed to be a sale. When the brothers saw him coming, they actually plotted his murder, at first to actively or perhaps passively kill him. They wanted to kill him. In the end, they only sold him. But if we begin to think about it, especially the context and the history, I think we may come to the conclusion that the sale is even worse than we initially think. In order to understand this, let me raise a couple of other points. In last week's parsha, we find the brothers of Yosef, a number of the brothers, doing a couple of things, or let's say three different episodes we can point at, and each one is problematic. When I say it's problematic, it's not to say that there's no way to understand it or no way to perhaps finesse it, but the three difficult sections. One is we find Reuven, the eldest son of Yaakov, who this plain or straight reading of the text tells us that he went to bed with his father's concubine, with Bilhah. And Yaakov does not seem to respond at all. Later, on his deathbed, we find a response of Yaakov. Secondly, we find the next two sons, Shimon and Levi. When their sister was taken by Shechem, they go into the city and they kill the entire city. And over here, Yaakov's response is only a pragmatic response, being that he's so small in number. How can they do something which is so threatening to the entire people? And contextually, I understand that Yaakov has just escaped one episode with Laban and a second episode in terms of the threat of Esav. And the last thing that he thinks he needs is another front, another battle that would need to be waged. But that seems to be the entire response, as I said, on a pragmatic level. After the battle against Shechem, we find that some of the brothers have in their possessions all kinds of spoils of war, including idolatry. And Yaakov tells them to put away all the things of idolatry, to bury them, to get rid of them. Which means we find within one portion sons of Yaakov guilty of the three primary sins which Judaism tries to teach against, and that is sexual impropriety, murder, and finally idolatry. And nonetheless, Yaakov keeps all of those three sons as part of the family. We don't find any reproach that they're sent away. Now, to understand this, we need to go back a little bit further. Because if we really think about it, the hatred between the brothers and Yosef, the jealousy which morphs into hatred, shouldn't surprise us terribly. That's what the whole book of Bereshit is about. We find brother after brother, relatives who don't get along with one another. From the very opening scenes, Cain and Hevel, the first brothers, results in a murder. We find Avraham can't get along with not his brother, but his nephew, his brother, his dead brother's son, and they parts ways with Lot. We find Avraham's son, Yishmael, is sent away. We find Yaakov and Esav can't get along with one another, which means we shouldn't be surprised that brothers don't get along. That's what the whole book is about. So let's go back and now try to have a little bit more understanding of Yaakov. Yitzchak, his father, was born into a house that when he was born, his brother was sent away. This has nothing to do with Yitzchak per se, but Yitzchak's life is one where the family is broken up. And perhaps Yitzchak felt some responsibility. On a midrashic level, we find something interesting, that after his mother passes away, it's Yitzchak, Rashi tells us, who goes and finds Hagar and brings her back to his father. Which means Yitzchak is the one who tries to bring the family together. Yitzchak is the one who had the dream. When I say dream, I'm not being technical. He had the belief that his two sons would stay together. And perhaps it's easy to say, to be an armchair psychologist, and to say that the division in the home that he was a child, that perhaps he even feels responsible for, of course he had no responsibility, he's going to say, no, in my family, my children get together, my boys will get together. They're going to be one for all for one. But of course, Rivka has a real prophecy, and her prophecy is that they will not get together. Not only will they not be one family, they're not even going to be part of the same nation eventually. But nonetheless, the values of Yitzchak seem to go deep within Yaakov. When he goes and finds a wife, another question emerges. He works for 7 years for the woman that he loves, for Rachel, for Rachel. And then on the wedding night, she switched for Leah. And in the morning, he wakes up and he sees that, in fact, it's Leah. Why does Yaakov stay around? Why doesn't Yaakov just run away from this place? These are crazy people. Here's a father who is the one who was behind this. And there must have been collusion between the sisters that allowed this to happen. How could he stay married to a woman like Leah? And how in the world can Rachel have been involved in this? But I think we're missing something. I think Yaakov sees something which all of us miss. Yaakov doesn't see the deception as much as he sees one sister standing up for the other. Rachel has Leah's back. And when he realizes that Rachel and Leah are so close together, he sees for the first time an example of the kind of love that two siblings can have for one another. And instead of running away, he says, you know what, we're going to make this work because I want children to come out of this type of family. I want my kids to get along. I want my kids to get along in a way that perhaps he and Esav never did. And now if we think about it, when Shimon and Levi hear what happened to their sister Dinah, they go to war to protect their sister. That's the background of it. When Reuven goes, and the way that Rashi, quoting Chazal, tried to tame it a little bit, they said it wasn't so much he slept with her, but he got involved in the sleeping arrangements of Yaakov. He moved Yaakov's bed outside of Bilhah's tent. Why would he get involved in such things? Because he was protecting his mother. His mother now is the only real wife now that Rachel has died. And how can his father hurt his mother's feelings? Which means when we realize various things would have taken place were because siblings were taking care of one another, now we can understand why Yaakov doesn't simply run away, or why he doesn't send his children away. And all this leads us back to the sale of Yosef. I don't know if Yaakov ever found out what happened to Yosef and how he ended up in Egypt, but if he would have understood that not only did his sons not support one another, not only did the brothers not fulfill his dream of having one another's back, but they were prepared to put a knife in Yosef's back, then we realize how much worse the sale of Yosef was than we ever possibly imagined.